is weird, odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea, then the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as we deliver the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Weird News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And it seems very fitting that for this episode of the Weird News Podcast, which is our 100th episode,
woo-hoo!
We start with Weird Al.
Because
he's got weird in his name.
Yes.
Just like we should have a strange statue erected to him for some reason, just because.
He should be the mascot of our show.
Made out of like, you know, bottle caps and shipping peanuts.
I would like to see that. I would like you to make that now.
I can't statue. I was gonna say like, you know, sculpt, but that's I'm not sure that's technically sculpting with bottle caps and shipping peanuts.
Sure, because you still have to sculpt it into the right shape after somehow. I don't know. I got nothing.
Statue as a verb still feels more fitting. But so Weird Al is weird for me because I didn't actually know too much about his actual career. It's more just by the time I was old enough to, you know, notice him, he was Weird Al, almost like the personality. And so mm-hmm. you just saw him being like, you know, sort of cameos in things more so than his actual music career, which I guess is what he's most known for. So mm-hmm. he actually released his first comedy song in 1976.
Yes.
I'm just like, what?
I didn't realize it was that far back, but yeah. I mean, I basically grew up with Weird Al songs.
I feel that, like, there is a certain subset of people who are his fans who are of a certain age and, like, remember him much better than I do. Because for me, it's like, oh, hey, it's the head monk of the singing monks from Galavant. Which I kind of half feel that, like, that part was written with him in mind. I was like, did you really write that for just some... He's the head of the Order of Singing Monks. Like, you didn't write that solely for Weird Al? Are you sure? I don't buy it. But yeah, so he actually... He has a long history. 1976, he's won, like, 4 Grammys. He's released over, I think, 150 songs. I'm just like, what? Mm-hmm. Some people
would say that, you know, your song's not really a hit until it's been covered by Weird Al.
That's like you've made it.
Yep.
The song has made it to the, you know, pinnacle of, I want a popularity,
knowledge,
pinnacleness. Yes. We're just using words as strange things now. But yeah, so Weird Al has, and I'm even more so than the learning how long he's had a career, more so shocked that he didn't already have this, is that he just received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
That's kind of arbitrary, isn't it? How you get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? I mean, can't people just sort of, like, pay for it?
I think, you know, it has to be approved. There's a whole, I'm going to go with organization that sort of orders it and who can get a star and, you know. And then once you have a star, it's technically considered, I think, like a historical landmark. Or something, so then it gets, like, covered by state parks or something like that. The whole Hollywood Walk of Fame thing, it's starting to feel a little overcrowded because I did go there when I was in LA, and it's not just, like, one thing where every other thing is a star. There are some places where, like, that star is one row over in catty corner, and it feels just sort of clumped, and I'm just like, aw. it's not as pretty.
Aww.
And you're getting, like, a lot of stars now. So if I want to go find the specific star I want to take a picture of, this will take me a while. But so this was paid for, kind of. And I guess you do have to pay for it to have your star. I'm not quite sure.
I'm reading it right now. All it takes is mailing an application and a fee to the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce. But, you know, I could mail it, but they're not going to be
right.
Like, yeah, Sarah Megler Tate should totally have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I'm pretty sure they, you know, still have to prove it.
Yeah, you got to have done something.
Yeah, and so considering especially how long his career has been, I was shocked that he didn't already have one, because I just kind of figured he would have gotten one in like the 80s or 90s. But it took so long even just to get this one, because this has been going on for 13 years of his fans trying to get him a star. And I'm just like, what? Especially since the fans raised the money for this. It cost them $40,000, which doesn't sound like a lot for like a celebrity star.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, why did this, what took so long that you couldn't do like, really? 13 years? It took 13 years for this?
Wow.
And this all started because a fan happened to be, and I guess he evidently took the time to go through every star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and happened to notice that somehow, shock of shocks, Weird Al did not already have a star, like I assumed, and was like, well, this is a travesty, and started a fan-led effort to get him a star. And so to thank them, Weird Al took pictures with the fan who started that, and I think there was another fan who was like the treasurer of this, because they did start a crowdfunding to get that $40,000 mm-hmm. to pay for the star. So as a thanks, like, you get to take a picture of me with my star. You also get a plaque of your star, which is starting to feel like, I don't want to say meta, but it's just like, there's my star in the thing, and like the smaller mini version of the star. And is there a smaller mini version where you get that thing where like the reflections that go on and on and on forever? It's like, how small do you go of the versions of these stars, you know? But yeah, so it was very interesting. He gave a very, it sounds typical, Weird Al speech of, you know, thanks, including referencing the fact that Donald Trump's star has now been pickaxed.
Mm.
Well, it was once with a sledgehammer and once with a pickaxe,
yeah.
I think. But he was like, you know, please don't pickaxe my thing. I know it's the end thing to do right now, but please don't pickaxe my star.
Oh, geez.
But yeah, I just, there's a lot I don't know about Weird Al. I saw some people who were tweeting about how happy they were Dr. Demento was there when that was happening. I have no clue who Dr. Demento is.
I feel like I know it's in my brain somewhere, but...
Was Weird Al like a show? Because it kind of feels like he's like the strange version of like Bill Nye.
I don't think so, but maybe he was... I mean, Dr. Demento was a show. Okay, yes, I did. Now that I looked it up, Dr. Demento was a show. Does it have anything to do with Weird Al? I'd have to do more research.
Like, it just feels like, you know, on Weird Al's version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Dr. Demento was the guy who came to the door and had strange magic tricks or something. Like, again, I don't...
Or maybe Dr. Demento is Mr. Rogers and Weird Al is one of the neighborhood people.
I'm not sure if that makes the neighborhood better or worse.
I don't know. It makes
whose neighborhood is this?
Makes it weirder.
Possibly. But yeah, no, so I was, because like I had seen, I knew Weird Al did a cover of Michael Jackson's Bad called Fat. I remember that.
Oh, he yeah, Beat It. He did Eat It.
Yeah.
Another Just One Rides continue. The Bus as opposed to Another One Bites the Dust. Mm-hmm. Gangster Paradise.
Yeah, Amish Paradise.
Amish Paradise.
That one
is probably
I definitely knew of, but I was, again, super surprised. Congratulations to Weird Al for finally, I'm kind of wondering if, like, the, you know, committee, I'm going to go with committee, the committee in charge of who gets stars, like, took a few years for the fans to raise money, and so finally they were like, well, you know, it's been like 4 or 5 years, and this is Weird Al, so let's just wait till 13. Because 13 is just a fitting number for that. I was like, that's a perfect number. We're just gonna sit on this for, you know, 8 more years or something. Like, I was like, did you do this on purpose? Why did it take 13 years? I couldn't quite figure out. I looked into it. And I couldn't quite find why it took so long other than just, you know, he has very fervent fans, but not rich fans, or...
Probably not.
His fans are weird enough where they'd be like, totally start a protest, but then maybe not give the money for it. I couldn't quite figure out why it was 13 years, but so I'm going with the committee. It was the committee's doing on purpose.
They did it, yep.
Or maybe the fans did it on purpose, and they're like, it's Weird Al, he has to have 13. It's like, I know we had the money like 6 years ago, but just hold on, we're almost there. Not sure.
Now I'm just picturing a meeting where they're like, nope, 13 years. I know we already have $40,000, but...
Now I'm picturing like a town hall meeting and like, any new business on the Weird Al getting a star? Right. No new business? Okay, old business.
It's like those weird town hall meetings in Gilmore Girls. This is what I'm picturing. Quirky characters.
Oh, yes. Yes. Weird Al would totally have his own quirky meetings for his fans. I can totally imagine it. But either way, congratulations to Weird Al, and we do certainly hope your star doesn't get pickaxed or sledgehammered or anything terrible, because it's new and pretty and you have a plaque to celebrate it.
Yay.
So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Weird News Podcast. So the house my mother and I currently live in has a really big backyard, and nice. I'm not quite sure how that happened, because from what I can tell, the neighboring houses don't necessarily have as big a backyard.
Is it a double lot?
I don't think so. Like, the ones on either side of us do, but their houses are differently shaped, so it doesn't seem that way. But we have a really big backyard, which has a shed in it that was there when we moved in, but the shed's, like, really broken down and leaning and has a dead possum in it, so we never use it. Like, I didn't believe my mother when she told me that, and then I thought, I was just like, oh, nope, not going in that shed, never going in that shed. I don't care if we ever do decide to tear down that shed, we need to, like, hire people with bulldozers to come and get it out. I'm not going anywhere near that. That is a, it's not a skeleton almost, it's like a almost mummified looking. It's just,
this is kind of personal, but do you own or rent?
Rent.
So shouldn't your landlord take care of the dead possum?
They probably also just are like, we can't afford a bulldozer, so we're just going to leave it there for now. Nobody really bothers it. We don't go in that shed.
Okay.
But I am now very envious, because there is evidently a Shed of the Year contest. And I'm just now, as I was, like, reading about Shed of the Year, I kept having that one insurance commercial about the she shed. I don't know. So at the end of the commercial, I'm still confused. What is she shear? What does that mean? What is she shear? You're getting a she shear, she said?
Oh, no. A she shear. Like, you know, like, it's she. So fancier. She is slang for, you know. Ooh, it's so she. I don't even quite know how to, like, maybe girly and fancy and, like, chic, but.
Oh, okay. See, my brain was trying to put she on front of it, like she shed. So I'm like, so you're getting a sheer shed? You're getting a see-through shed? Why are you happy about that? I don't understand. I would not actually, though, be surprised if there was some sort of sheer shed in the Shed of the Year contest, because some of these sheds are very interesting.
I read Shed of the Year 2018 on the notes that you give me, and
you thought I made it up?
No. I wasn't thinking shed like a building. I was like, Shed of the Year, like animal shed? Like, what are we talking about? I am so confused.
My animal shed's the best. Your animal sucks. That's a whole nother competition I'm not sure I want to see.
My bearded dragon can shed all in one piece. Yours came off in pieces.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, these are sheds that you can go into, and I don't want to think about animal sheds doing that way. So sheds you can go into.
Yes.
And this is in Britain, I believe. There are 8 categories: unique, eco, cabin / summer house, historical, budget, pub / entertainment, because very British, of course. Pub, but also entertainment. You can't just not have pub. Unexpected, workshop / studio, and international. And when I was looking this up, I clicked on international just to see what that was like. And that just seems to be sheds that fit into the other categories but aren't British, I think. Because a lot of them were like, hey, this is unique international. This is, you know, unexpected international. I'm like, oh, so just the outsider entries.
Does your shed have to be in Britain?
No.
Like, so if you're in Sweden, then you just automatically have an international
That's what shed? It seems like to me. I'm looking it up.
Okay.
And almost 3,000 people have entered. And I really want to know the rules for this, of like, if I enter 1 year and it doesn't win, do I have to build a whole new shed to enter the next year? Or can I enter the same shed until it wins?
Paint it a different color?
Right. Like, what's the rules of how many times I can enter this shed and how many categories I can enter this shed? And I'm not sure I fully get the categories because, like, going through and looking at them, I'm not sure what fully separates a unique shed from an unexpected shed because some of these sheds are, like...
Sure.
What the heck?
Wow, it's been whittled down from 2,971 entries to just 24 finalists.
I don't know how they do that.
I don't know either.
Like, I would take probably weeks, if not months, of looking through these sheds and going, well, this one is this. Because it's not like you can judge them on the same, right. You know, it's not like, I mean, I guess technically Best in Show is all the different breed dogs. So never mind. But it's not like, you know, all of the unique are the same way all of, like, poodles are the same way, and so you can judge them on similar categories. Like, it's unique. How do you judge one unique versus another unique?
Right.
What makes something more unique than the other? I mean, just like...
One of these is made out of an old car with suicide doors.
And I loved... Okay, I didn't know they were called that.
That's what I'm here for.
I love that shed because it also looks like possibly their version of, like, a tiny house or something. It's got a bed in it, and I'm like, I want that. I want that. I actually did used to want to buy an old double-decker bus and just put it in the backyard and make it like a clubhouse. I don't know how I'd get it in the backyard because not even the house we're living in. We were living in a house with a smaller backyard, so that would have to be like crane lifted in or something. And then all the work that it would take to... I now want to do that and enter it into Shed of the Year.
Of course.
But that would have to be probably like Shed of the Year 2040. By the time I could actually be able to do that.
Right.
But yeah, so there is a 1,000-pound prize for this. And the winner also gets a winner's plaque, a giant crown, and 100 pounds worth of woodwork products, which I'm like, okay, cool. But what if you're like that guy with the car shed? It's not made out of wood, so...
I'm sure there are inner workings that you could use. And 100 pounds isn't going to buy you a lot of woodworking product.
True, but so. I just feel like you should have 100 pounds worth of, you know, fitting to what your shed is products. Because I saw some of them. There was one that looked like it was a cement bunker with tires. I don't quite know why. There's a couple, actually, that have, like, colorful glass bottles put into them, so when the light shines through, they're really pretty.
I saw that was really cool.
One of them was called, like, I think the Mermaid House or something. Some of them also really have some interesting names as well, like the taxi with the suicide doors or whatever. I forget what that was called. There was one that was called My Shed, but like with an I, the way you do like iPod.
Oh,
so it's just like, who came up with this of, like, this is the best shed of the year? We need to award them for their ingenuity or craziness or something.
Well, and first we need to reward the people who are like, this shed is boring. You know what? I'm going to turn it into a mermaid shed. Or, you know, I mean, I know there are many crafty, artsy, creative people out there, but... For me, it'd just be a shed in the backyard.
Yeah.
Maybe I would picture it as, like, a playhouse. That's about as creative as my brain would go.
Well, like, even for the she sheds, which has now become a thing, I'm just like, isn't that... You just put tools there, right? Why are you fancying up a shed? I'm just like, that would never have occurred to me. I would have, you know, treehouse, sure, fine. But to fancy up a shed, even just to be a nice, pretty place to sit... It's like, huh? And then it's like, and take that to a whole nother level and make it look, you know, how does that even work physically and not fall down or anything? There was one that was like made out of a boat that I'm just like, okay, did you like buy a boat and cut it into pieces, or did you just build this from like reclaimed wood? How did you build this boat shed? Just so, yeah. And the fact that it has the 8 categories, because I mean, again, I don't know how you judge unique against unique. So I guess it was sort of like, let's put some of the similar ones together so we can at least, you know, kind of rank. All the historical ones, all the ones that are made to look historical, clearly go against something different than something that's like a pub entertainment shed that's made to be...
Right.
What is the she shed version of a man cave?
Although, you know, 8 categories, that's still quite a lot, that with what seems like a lot of overlap.
Well, and again, so international, so it's technically kind of 7. Because international can also still be other categories that I'm not sure if you compete in them. I hope you do. If you, like, happen to make a, you know, cabin, summer house, shed, but you're in Italy, you shouldn't just be regulated to international. You should also be able to compete in cabin, summer house, because their cabin, summer house, shed is not going to at all going to be, like, you know, the workshop studio shed from Brazil. I'm just randomly picking things now.
You're just,
random
you're like,
countries,
you're like
random
Mad Libs.
Categories. Just throw a dart at the paper and see what comes out. But yeah, so I'd love to know, like, in the same way with the Weird Al, what are those town hall meetings? I'd love to know, like, the judging meetings for these sheds.
Yeah.
This shed is not nearly unique. I'd give this unique score of 7.2. Yeah, well, I give it, like, how do you do that? What is ego?
And are there, like, major arguments on the judging panel? No, this one is more unique. You're really going to bat for your favorite shed?
See, and now, because evidently, clearly, everything in my brain is related to commercials, I'm thinking of that commercial with the founding fathers arguing about Napoleon.
Oh, jeez.
But that's how you would argue about the shed. You're a nincompoop. Why can't you recognize the brilliance that is this workshop studio? That's totally
wow.
I think it's because they're British. I apologize, Britain. I clearly don't. This is all Hollywood's fault. They give me stereotypical British things, and I don't know any better. That's exactly what it is.
Okay, now we're blaming Hollywood.
Well,
I just like to know. I just tune in every week. I show up every week just to find out who you're going to blame, and I'm happy when it's not me.
Yep, it's not Sarah. It's Hollywood, so we're all good. So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Weird News Podcast. Our final story today, speaking of Hollywood, has to do with movies.
Okay. What movie?
Well, Stanley Kubrick. And just, I find Stanley Kubrick to be weird.
Creepy?
In general. Well.
So it can go with, well, okay, we'll go with weird. That maybe is a little less pejorative.
So I've seen a number of them, and it's, every time I'm just like, what is this? Did I check out the wrong movie? What is going on right now? So, like, Clockwork Orange makes me never want to read that book, even though I'm normally like, oh, it's based on a book, I must. Now I'm like, nope, I don't want to know what's going on. I don't want to be in this, you know, strange other world you've got going on here. I have no clue what the heck is happening in Eyes Wide Shut. I was just like, and then it ends, and what the heck? The Shining, A, creepy, so I automatically was like, horror film, nope. But I was watching just a bunch of Stanley Kubrick films with friends. And so I was like, okay, we've got to watch The Shining. How can you not watch? You can't, like, do Kubrick and not watch The Shining. Like, creepy, but still weird.
Yes, both.
Continue. Just well done, Stanley Kubrick. You were very solid in the weirdness all throughout your career.
But I think we have to give a lot of that weirdness to Stephen King.
Well, and I know there's a huge controversy that Stephen King didn't like the movie and that Stanley Kubrick did some things in the filming essentially kind of to piss off Stephen King.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. It is not the book. So, okay.
But I do think it's very interesting in that just recently a bear snuck into the hotel that The Shining is based off of.
No. Did the bear really sneak into the hotel? You know, I'm picturing the bear like tiptoeing and like quietly opening. I think the bear just probably strolled right in.
He did.
I don't think bears have to sneak much.
Yeah. So this is the Stanley Hotel, which was built in 1909. And this is Stephen King was staying there with his family. And they were like the only ones there.
Not named after Stanley Kubrick.
And no. Well, no. And that inspired him to write The Shining. He had a nightmare and then immediately got up and was like, okay, this is going to be a book. But more importantly, this bear snuck in at like 3 a.m. or something. And the staff, you know, obviously was there and took a video on their cell phone or whatever. And the bear, you're right, did not tiptoe, though that would be a whole nother thing to see a bear tiptoeing. It just sort of came in. They think it maybe figured out how to pry open the lobby door.
Sure.
Or came in from like a side door that was cracked open from a staff member and they didn't notice. They're not quite sure. Came in, went to like the lobby, sort of climbed around on the furniture and
like
then
you
left.
Do.
Well, certainly as a bear. Like, there's been so many stories this year of bears either sneaking into, like, hot tubs or getting locked in cars. Right. And I'm just like, do bears have opposable thumbs? Why can they open doors so easily? What is this? But for me, more importantly, is they made the article I saw, you know, made a point to mention that nobody was hurt. There were about 300 guests there and they were sleeping. And I'm just like, wait, there are guests at the Shining Hotel?
Well, I'm sure now. I mean, there was only if the King family was the only were the only ones there, then once he wrote the book and the movie came out, I'm sure it was a big, big boost.
This is like people who want to go stay at haunted houses. I'm like, but why?
Yeah.
Like, and this isn't even known to be haunted, but I've seen that movie and it would freak me out enough that I'd be like, no. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I don't care if this is the only hotel within like 100 miles. We will drive for hours to find some place that is not going to freak me out this way. But 300 people, like, whatever. And the hotel is evidently located like near a wildlife park or whatever. So this is just sort of, you know, comes with the territory. But because this was a bear, this got people bringing up a lot of times the scene from The Shining involving a bear.
Oh, you know, I've never seen The Shining.
It's, okay. There's a lot about The Shining that I'm still, and especially the scene near the end that involves the bear and the elevator of blood, and I'm just like, what the heck is happening right now? But I had completely actually forgotten about the scene. A, because it's only like 5 seconds. Like, you only see this for a very short amount of time, and then there's a whole lot of, you know, more crazy running and trying not to be killed by Jack Nicholson, so we clearly are on to other things. But then B, I didn't actually know this was a bear, because it is a person in a bear suit who appears to be performing some sort of sexual act on a man in a tuxedo. Okay, not sure why.
So I've heard of this scene. I've never seen the movie.
I have no idea what that has to do with anything. It's never explained. We don't know who these characters are. We, like, never see them before or after. But when I first saw that, I thought it was, like, a dog. A man in a dog costume.
Uh-huh.
And so in my brain, it A, doesn't exist because it was super short. And then B, it's like, oh, wait, the dog? You mean that dog thing? Not a bear. So when people are like, oh, my gosh, the bear. And they start out like, what are you talking about? I've seen The Shining and I've seen like different parts a couple of times. And there, you know, there's the elevator of blood and there's the running through the snow-filled maze. And there are the creepy twin girls because, no, they are really creepy. What bear are you talking about? Where's the bear? They're the only people at a hotel and they don't go out. And what are you? What? And like, I don't know that anyone else has ever really... I don't think Kubrick ever really said what that scene was supposed to be or why it's in there. I'm still just going with the Kubrick's kind of weird as my explanation for it.
Probably not a bad explanation.
I did see one thing that was trying to explain that it's maybe a metaphor for like Jack Nicholson's character and the way he treats his son, but I don't even think that's in the book. So I'm like, I mean, it's weird enough that it totally could happen, but where are you getting that from? It's just a whole host of weird things. Thankfully, this bear was not A, in a creepy costume, or B, doing strange things, or C, trying to murder people with an axe. So all was good, but I'm still like shocked that the person even got this on film, because it's not like it's just a counter. He's behind the like lobby counter,
right,
filming this, and the bears just wander, and I'm like, that's a bear. That's a full-sized adult bear.
Yeah, it can easily climb over
the counter. It's not like, you know, you're super protected by being behind the lobby counter. There's not a cage. That bear could probably very easily climb over to get to you if it wanted to. Why are you standing there so calmly filming it at like 3 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I would have been that calm.
But I mean, I'm also clearly freaked out enough about this hotel that I'm not working in it. I don't care what time it is, but especially at 3 a.m. in the morning. Like, I'd be that person. I can't do, like, even, like, security guard stuff because my imagination just goes off on its own. So, like, if you're going to put me out where I'm by myself at, like, the wee hours of the morning, I will last, like, maybe one day in that job and then quit.
Why would you take the job in the first place would be my question, you know?
I'd have to be really, like, in need of a job or something and just be like, nope, I totally imagined the thing. I heard a sound. I'm freaking out. Nope, quit. Here's my, like, not even 2-week notice. Here's my, like, 2-minute notice. I'm out of here. But thankfully, this did not turn into a creepy thing with the guy who's maybe from the old... I still don't get The Shining. Like, you haven't seen it, so... I don't want to spoil the ending, but at the end, I'm like, so... Wait, what and who was real and what wasn't real here and what the heck is going on and how does this hotel ever have people, because they're there during the off season in the same way, you know, at least with Stephen King, it's because they were entering the off season. I'm like, how does this hotel ever have people? And this has never had a problem. It's like, clearly there's something wrong with this hotel. And yet you normally have people during the regular season who stay here. And yeah, no, I just, I'm clearly a scaredy cat. I would never have watched it if we weren't doing a Kubrick marathon. So, and now that I have, I'm just like, yeah. Yeah, that.
I didn't really know this segment was going to go in so many different strange
directions. Ways all over. That's how we do it on the Weird News Podcast. So on that note, thank you for listening to the GSMC Weird News Podcast. We will see you next time.